You've landed Inside Launch Street, the Business Innovation Podcast, where we interview top innovators out there shaking things up so you can innovate, differentiate, and get further faster. Since you're here, we know you're the type of person that recognizes the importance of unlocking your innovation advantage so you can compete and win. And now, your host, the person that has worked with leading companies like Disney, Procter & Gamble, Arrow Electronics, the U.S. Army Research Labs, and Red Robin on upping their innovation advantage, Tamara Gontor.
All right, before I dig in, I want to share something else that I'm excited about, and I'm actually going to share a story from, which is this incredible, thorough download that we put together from the stories and the experiences of everyday innovators, people like you and me, leaders, innovators out there making an impact, what they're doing now to bring innovation and influence and value to their organizations. So there's a link in the show notes, but basically go to our website, go to launchstreet.com. Right there on the homepage, you'll see three boxes. Take the free IQE, highly recommend it. That tells you your unique style of innovation, which is your competitive advantage, your personal competitive advantage. There's the 8 strategies, and then the box on the right is signing up for the waitlist for when we release the innovation workshop, which is a 4-part series on being a confident innovator. The one in the middle is the one I'm focusing on today, and that's the 8 strategies highly innovative leaders are using now to bring value to their organizations. These are real world, they're tactical, and I promise you that if you just focus on one of them, you'll see a transformation. And oh my gosh, if you did all 8, well, that just blows my mind right here. You can't see it, but I'm almost falling out of my chair. All right, so go download that. Okay, now let's talk about why understanding each other's differences leads to more innovation. So I actually want to share a story with you from a company I used to work with that's a kind of in the opposite direction. This is what we don't want to do, but often the trap that we fall into. So I'm at this company, I'm a VP, and the company president, who's, you know, our leader, is really set on building a harmonious workplace, right? He was very conflict avoidant. He was very difference avoidant. And while we had a peppering of different types of people on the team, he didn't want to focus on that. He wanted to always focus on what brought us together, the commonalities. Now that's great in a lot of ways, but upon reflection and looking back, we really missed the mark in being able to leverage and get value out of the differences that we all bring to the table. Innovation happens by pulling together diversity of thinking. And when we try in a very superficial way, like what was happening in my old company, to build a harmonious environment that brushes those differences under the rug, what ultimately happens is it creates friction because we have no understanding of why the person across the table from us acts differently than us. We have no understanding of why the person across the table thinks differently than us, behaves differently, has a different perspective, comes up with different ideas. So instead, what we find is that we cause friction with each other. And you know what? That was exactly what was happening at my old company. In an effort to be harmonious, it actually created a ton of friction. And friction can actually be, as I was just saying in my Facebook, we have a private Facebook group, by the way, if you don't know about it, it's part of one of the reasons I'm so excited about it is because there's a whole diversity of thinking happening on that group and people from all different backgrounds and levels of leadership coming together to innovate and support and engage. It's really actually kind of exciting. So that it's called Leadership and Innovation with Tamara Gontor on Facebook. Go find it. We'll put the link in the show notes too, but part of the reason I'm super excited about it is because I'm seeing the opposite. I'm seeing people with different thinking, different innovation styles coming together to create innovation. It's really cool. But the opposite was happening in my organization. That friction was bogging us down because we didn't understand it. And we didn't understand each other. And because we didn't understand the differences in each other, the differences in you and me, we weren't leveraging that friction as a strength, which I'm going to talk about in a minute because it absolutely can be. Instead, we let it get in the way of our conversations. We let it get in the way of our meetings, our decision-making, our brainstorm, right? Because it was always this tension that made us shut down. And we would brush it under the rug by trying to get to the place of like, all right, guys, what do we all agree on? Now, as you all know, I'm a huge, huge fan of constructive conflict, but we didn't have any of that. So if you're in an organization and kind of what the story I'm sharing with you resonates, then I would suggest really looking at, do we understand the differences in each other well enough to be able to leverage it for a competitive advantage? So like in my story, let me give you an example, actually. Let me just get like totally behind the scenes transparent. So we're in the conference room and we're brainstorming solutions for a client. This is a consulting firm. They've hired us to come up with a new revenue stream for them. And we're sitting in the room and we've got about 10 of us in the room. We're all very different people. And our leader's taking us through these kind of conversations and we're bantering around. And at some point, somebody didn't agree with something or they came up with a different perspective. And they weren't harsh about it. They weren't even mean about it. They just said, hey, I think I have a different way of looking at this. And instead of leveraging that and going, huh, tell me more about that. Oh, maybe your different perspective can make this idea stronger. Our leader shut it down. We all shut it down. And we focus from there on out on what we agreed on. Be like, let's just focus on what we agree on today. We'll table that stuff for later. As you can imagine, horrible leadership, first of all. Sorry, buddy, but that was horrible. But also the ideas and the solutions and the conversation that came out of that room were average at best. At best, average. Why? Because we didn't understand each other and the differences that we could have leveraged to elevate our thinking, elevate our conversation, and bring more innovation out. When you have diversity of thinking and you really understand each other and the power of that, you get to see ideas from all different angles. You get to strengthen it from all different places. It's like, here's my analogy for this. So just go with me for a second, because if you know me, you know, I tend to love analogies and I tend to sometimes get them a little wrong. But I mean, well, I think to me, it's like building a house and only having wood. That's when everything is like harmonious and the same. When what you need is wood and nails and plaster and cement and metal, right? You need all of it to build an amazing house. Well, that's exactly why you need diversity of thinking, why you need to understand that diversity in each other, because you need the wood type of thinking, you need the plaster type of thinking, you need the metal type of thinking, you need the landscaping type of thinking, electrical type of thinking. Gosh, I'm looking around my home office and I'm trying to see what other kind of thinking, furniture type of thinking, design, right? Plumbing. You get the point. That's why we understand how each of us contributes in our difference, in our style of thinking. Now, if you followed me for long enough, you know that we've created a proprietary assessment that tells you your unique style of innovation. So I want to share with you a story about a team that I'm really proud of. And they're in this 8 strategies, by the way. This is just one of the 8 that we share with you, where we just lay it all out for you. Like, here's what you need to do. And this is a great example of, they had the whole team take the IQER assessment. So they understood how every person was an innovator. And then they used that to really understand how to best bring out the best in themselves, but also bring out the best in each other. And that is exactly what I mean by understanding each other's differences. When we do that, we bring out the best in everyone around us. How cool is that? So let me tell you a little bit about, so Morty and his team of 25. So they were together for an offsite strategy session. People flew in from across the globe. Some of them were actually meeting for the first time. And Morty, he's the team leader of an internal project group at a company in the technology reseller space. So in essence, his team is responsible for operational excellence across the organization. So maybe not the sexiest team, maybe not the ones that gets the resources to be innovative, maybe not the ones that are kind of customer facing, in fact, not at all, but a group of wickedly smart people. I mean, incredibly smart people. And their job, right, is improving the internal workings of this very large machine. Their job matters, but they're in the basement, right? They're the group nobody thinks about. But Morty was a great leader. So his goal was to come away from their session as a more cohesive and collaborative team, right? And also, of course, give them some tools for tackling the tough and exciting challenges they would face in the coming year. So they knew moving forward, that they were going to have a lot of new challenges ahead. The way the work was happening was changing. The way the internal company was organized was changing, right? So he needed his team to not only be cohesive and innovative, but he needed them really to be prepared to move forward. So we got together, right? He needed them to be able to accomplish the big work ahead. And he really needed them to go beyond the surface to tap the deeper diversity of thinking in his team. And for him, that meant ensuring everyone knew what unique strengths they brought to the table and how to leverage each other for strong collaboration and innovation. So in short, he turned their diversity of thinking into their greatest competitive advantage. We did all these exercises together. We dug deep into the friction that we cause by being different, the value that we bring. We talked about how they complement, challenge, and build on each other so that they could understand all of those elements together. Coming out of that session, Morty became recognized across the organization for transforming this sleepy status quo team that like nobody really paid attention to into a high-performing, high-value team of innovators. So I want to get a little personal now that I've shared Morty's story and kind of just, even on my team, explain on a one-on-one level how understanding that diversity really makes a difference. So I want to give you some personal examples to really bring this to life, because I think you'll start to see this in yourself and in the people around you. So as I mentioned earlier, right, and it's on our website, we all have this everyday innovator style. And that is a combination of, there's 9 ways you can innovate and as a human. And we, if once you take the assessment, we've got our proprietary algorithm. After you answer the questions, you'll see that there's 2 power triggers. So 2 ways that you naturally innovate, your wellspring of innovation, and 1 dormant trigger, right? The way that you innovate the least. It's not your power play. And we're going to focus on our 2 power triggers for a minute, because that's how you bring innovation to the table. That's how you bring value. That's how you perform at your peak. That's how you have a stronger, more valued voice. And what happens, though, in that is because mine is different than yours, which is different than Sally's, which is different than Cecil's, right? Which is different than Jose's. Like, we're all different. Sometimes that causes friction because we act, behave, think, get motivated differently. And we don't understand that about each other. So I want to give you a few examples. So I'm a risk taker experiential. Those are my 2 power triggers. What that really means is I innovate by getting uncomfortable. I need to leap and build the plane. For me, it's all about being in that uncomfortable space where you're pushing boundaries. And the experience, that's a risk taker side. The experiential side is all about innovating in action, right? So I have to be in motion. I have to bring it to life. I have to be tangible and real. I have to battle test things and experiment with things. So those are my 2 styles now, or my 2 power triggers that create my style. As you can imagine, my power triggers are very valuable. I push people to think differently, to be bolder, bigger. I get ideas out of analysis paralysis and into action. I am able to see things in a kind of a 3D way because I bring things to life and make them real world. I'm able to get uncomfortable when other people get stuck on the ledge and get afraid, right? That's awesome, isn't it? Doesn't that sound, you're like, yeah, tomorrow sounds amazing. However, to someone who's an opposite of me or, you know, has a completely different style than me with different, which is most of the world, right? We're all unique. There's like 36 combinations and some variations within that. So there's a lot of styles, as you can probably imagine. And some of you may be feeling it right now. I can also rub people the wrong way. I can seem impulsive. I can seem like I take action too fast. My desire to push everything can be exhausting for people who just want to take one step after the other. And again, there's nothing wrong with that. That's a different style of innovation we can talk about. But do you see that? What if people don't understand that me being bold and uncomfortable and having to build things is how I innovate, if you don't understand that difference in me, you're going to have a hard time valuing that about me. But after hearing that about me, don't you go, oh, okay, tomorrow I get it. You're trying to push a little bit further. Now, on the flip side, I'm going to talk a little bit about my team. So Laura on my team, she's my right hand. She runs the ship, let's face it. She's a collaborative tweaker. That means she innovates. The collaborative side is all about pulling disparate people and ideas and experiences together, right, to create whole innovation. So she's all about connecting all these little disparate things and putting them together. The tweaker side of her is all about adjusting editing, evolving, tweaking, right? She is amazing at optimizing, taking that one step at a time. And in that little tweak that she does, finding brilliant innovation. So she innovates by pulling disparate people and ideas together and by just making little adjustments, little adjustment after little adjustment. She adds so much value because she creates this whole innovation because she's pulling from all these different places that I didn't even see, right? I'm over there focusing on my leap. So she pulls all these things together. And on top of that, she can take what other people have already started and take it to a whole new level. So she can get things unstuck when people can't figure out what to do next because she sees the innovation in the little things as well as the big things. So as you can imagine, she brings incredible value to the table. But she can also rub people the wrong way if you don't understand that. Why? Because she has to pull all these little pieces of information together. And I'm like, can we stop gathering and talking to people? Can we start doing? Oh my gosh, like get innovative, girl. And the tweaking, I'm like, we're done here, right? Where she's like never final. It's always something more to do. So yes, that's how she causes friction. But wow, well, now that I know that about her, you better believe she's the first person I go to when I'm stuck and I can't see the bigger picture, like how it all fits together. Because she is that collaborative, right? Because she's a tweaker. So what used to annoy me has become, as a team, our greatest competitive advantage. And I get to bring out the best in her and what she does, and she gets to bring out the best in me. We leverage each other the right way. I want to give you one other example of two other power triggers, because I think this will really resonate with you, and you'll see this in the people that you lead and around you, and it may even be you. So inquisitives are people who, that power trigger, are people who innovate in the questions. They go deep. They pull back the layers of the onions. For them, innovation's in the questions, not the answers. And you know them because they ask you a million questions when you're done. And it sometimes feels like they're poking the bear. But here's the thing. Here's how they add so much value. They challenge assumptions. So while the rest of us are playing on the surface, they're over there going, but how? But why? But does it really have to be that way? And that's a really powerful for innovation, as you can imagine, because those assumptions are what keep us in that status quo box, and it doesn't have to be that way. So I want you to think about that for a second, right? So if you've got that person on your team who, it's the 11:30 a.m. meeting, everybody's closing their laptops or their notebooks, everybody's done, and you know Jess is over there, but I've got three more questions, hold on. And you're like, really, are you freaking kidding me? That's Jess innovating. And hold on for a second, what if you could leverage that to create a competitive advantage? What if you understood that about the people who are inquisitive on your team? You thought, okay, they're not poking the bear. They're not annoying me. They're not stupid. They're not understanding this information. They're actually trying to dig and innovate. So how about we leverage the fact that they ask questions and challenge assumptions so we don't get stuck in the status quo box? So we don't take things for granted. So we don't just do what we've always done. Inquisitives are great for breaking that mold because you know what? They don't take things at the surface. So imagine the possibilities if you understood a person like that. If you understood that those questions are not an annoyance, they're actually an incredible value to you and the organization. The other one I want to share actually is futuristics, because futuristics are people who innovate in tomorrow land. So they take today's challenges and turn them into tomorrow's opportunities. They're always 10 steps ahead. Because of that, they've been really future-driven innovation to the table, right? They see fast forward. They see the impact of things. They see where we're headed. They see where we're working on today is actually going to end up tomorrow. They see how today's problem that you're trying to solve is actually, like, you know, in a year or 5 years, whatever it is from now, is what it's going to look like. So as you can imagine, they're incredibly valuable for being visionary, for being inventive, for taking us into the future. Where they cause friction though, right, is they're not always anchored in today because they're too busy thinking of 10 steps down the road. And I'll give you a quick story. I was working with a team who had a futuristic on the team, and the futuristic was known for annoying the you-know-what out of the team because he'd say, right, but if we do that, blah, blah, blah over here, 10 steps later, is going to be negatively impacted. So what do we do about that? Or he'd say, so they'd be trying to solve today's problem. And he'd go, hey, I know this sounds a little crazy, but what if we did this, you know, wild thing with AI that took us into the future? And they're going, what does that have to do with today? We've got a problem to solve today. And you're over there like playing forest with the trees. We got to focus on this one tree. Well, he's being a futuristic. He's thinking about impact. He's thinking about the future. So he used to annoy the team because he was always the 10-step impact person or the, all right, let's not just think about the one tree. Let's think about the forest, right? And what it's going to look like in 10 years. But it really frustrated his team. We do this exercise. We get everybody to understand how they innovate. And oh my gosh, I could see the light bulbs go off in this virtual meeting. I mean, we're all on these tiles, right, on Zoom. And I can see his team just like, oh my gosh. And a colleague said, oh my gosh, Brian, I have to apologize to you. You are providing so much innovation and I never realized it. I never saw it. And it flipped the whole conversation because when he understood how Brian brought this different future-driven thinking to his side, which was he was experiential and tweaker, which is really about where are we now and what are we adjusting, right? What are we doing? Experiential is very real world, very tangible, very in motion. And tweaker is very like edit and adjust, right? I just talked about them. So you can see how this guy over here, which by the way, was a futuristic imaginative, and imaginatives are all about playing in the gap. So you can imagine the difference between the two and the lack of understanding how that caused a friction. But wow, I checked in with Brian later and sure enough, like he and his team were singing along and he understood how to communicate better to them, given who he is. They understood how to receive it and they all understood how to leverage each other and the differences in each other. So I hope that those real world examples, as well as the example I gave earlier with Morty and his team, as well as the one I gave you of kind of the overly harmonious environment where we brushed our differences under the rug and how that actually negatively impacted us. I hope all those stories really help you see how understanding the differences in each other really brings out innovation. You and your team all bring this incredible power of diversity of thinking, different experiences, different cultures, different cognitive styles of thinking, different perspectives, different ideas. It is so powerful when we open that up and allow that to be the foundation that we come from. It brings more joy and satisfaction in work for ourselves personally and with our teams. It elevates our respect for each other. It elevates our collaboration. It elevates our innovation, which as we know, that ability to innovate is what's going to allow us to thrive in these uncertain times. So thank you for being here. Go download the 8 strategies document on our website I was talking about. There's so much more goodness in there for you to dig into. And like I said, all you need is one of them. And I promise you, you'll see something transformative when you put it into action. All right. Tamara out.
Thanks for hanging with us on Inside Launch Street. If you know someone that is truly ready to unlock their innovation advantage, have them join you on Launch Street. Discover your innovation advantage. Build a team of high-performing innovators and ignite ideas and solutions that create massive impact. GOTO, launchstreet.com. Remember, innovators, if you don't take the leap, somebody else will.